الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah, the Majestic, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His peace and His blessings and exalt the mention of Prophet Muhammad, his companions, his wives, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. We continue with the Sharh al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah li Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh, with the Sharh of Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullahu ta'ala. And we were dealing in our last session with some of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the names and attributes, as it is the subject of the whole book actually, for those of you who were not here last time. And maybe one of the brothers would like to give us a quick summary of what was discussed last week.
We discussed about Allah Sami'ul Basir.
Okay.
All hearing and all seeing.
Good.
And seeing, regarding seeing, it is two categories, mm-hmm. Visible and invisible.
Good.
You can see all visible and also invisible things.
Right. What else did we mention?
That Laftul Jalala.
Lafz al-Jalala, the one that was causing some confusion. Lafz al-Jalala, which is said, instead of using the word Allah in some context, we refer to it as Lafz al-Jalala in order not to put it in a place where it does not belong. Such as when dealing with grammar. You want to say, for example, Allah noun, you prefer not to say Allah as a noun. Although, you know, we know what is intended, but to avoid this kind of misunderstanding, we call it Lafz al-Jalala. It's a term of honor, you know, honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is referred to by the scholars in reference to Allah. So it is used in some context whenever you're dealing with grammar or things of this sort. And we actually dealt with the what we know from Surah Al-Kahf, the two companions, Aywa, who entered upon the garden, and his friend told him, had you said, when you see in your garden, MashaAllah, La quwwata illa billah. And we were dealing with the mashi'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the quwwa of Allah, and how we do not have the power, and how this is interpreted in different ways, that either we don't have the power in the ultimate sense, because Allah attributed power to the son of Adam in the verses that we mentioned, that Allah made us, He created us from weakness, and then after weakness He gave us power. So how does it say La quwwata illa billah? In one aspect, there's no power except that with Allah. And in other contexts, it says that we have power. So the Shaykh said the way we understand this is either the power that we have is from Allah at the end of the day. So even if it's attributed to us, we don't have it, we don't possess it as an original form. It is given to us by Allah. Or we don't have the power in the ultimate sense. Our power is deficient. Allah's power is ultimate and perfect. So this was how we dealt with that. And all this is in the context of the statement. And the second ayah which we will be dealing with is in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 253. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولو شاء الله ما اقتتلوا ولكن الله يفعل ما يريد. And if Allah had willed, they would not have fought against one another. But Allah does what He wills, or what He intends. And here the intent is not just the intent, it's intent that has been materialized. Even our deeds have intentions, and you carry out the deed, it's still an intention. It doesn't mean, the meaning usually intent is what you wish to do. But actually it's what you wish to do and the actual carrying out of that very deed. You see what I'm saying? But because we have an issue here in the English terminology when trying to explain some of the Arabic terminologies. For example, al-mashi'ah and irada, which have distinct meanings in the Arabic, and we have a hard time in English because usually it's one word used for both, but they have different meanings in Arabic. So we will be using for mashi'ah, alaykum salam, will, for mashi'ah will, and for irada, intent.
Mashi'ah intent.
No, the other way around. Maybe I said it wrong last time, or maybe you miss whichever one it is.
Al-mashi'ah, universal will.
Will,
aywa, mashi'ah will, that's what I'm saying, and irada, intent. We will, the Shaykh will break it down. So let's not go ahead of each other. We'll wait till the Shaykh actually will give us a breakdown of the difference between the universal will and the legal will and on all this stuff, inshallah. Anyways, dealing with the ayah, and if Allah had willed, law sha'a Allah, they would have not fought against one another. The Shaykh will deal first with the grammar, which I will bypass intentionally, and we will just go to the explanation. خلاف أصبح وقوله ولو شاء الله ما اقتتلوا الدمير أيوة الضمير يعود على المؤمنين والكافرين لقوله تعالى ولكن اختلفوا فمنهم من آمن ومنهم من كفر ولو شاء الله ما اقتتلوا. Now ولو شاء الله ما اقتتلوا, speaking about anonymous almost if you read the verse from there, because we said if Allah had willed they would have not fought against one another. Who are we speaking about? Prior to this statement, the verse explains it. This is in reference to the believers and the disbelievers. Because the verse says, and وَلَكِنْ اخْتَلَفُوا Nay, but they differed. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنْ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَفَرْ Among them are those who believed, and among them are those who disbelieved. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا And if Allah had willed, they would have not fought against one another. So then who is fighting? The believers versus the disbelievers. طيب. وفي هذا رد واضح على القدرية الذين ينكرون تعلق أو تعلق فعل العبد بمشيئة الله لأن الله قال ولو شاء الله ما اقتتلوا يعني ولكنه شاء أن يقتتلوا فاقتتلوا. In this particular ayah, this is a clear refutation against the قدرية. Who knows who the قدرية are? Who are the قدرية? These are a group of Muslims. What is their belief?
Regarding fate.
Regarding Qadar. Qadariya comes from Qadar. What is their conception of Qadar?
Everything is by fate, you know, fate theory.
No, these are the other way around. Al-Jabariya are the ones who say that you are forced to do everything you do. Mujbar. You are forced. Meaning, when you sin to them, when you sin, you are forced to sin. Because Allah had decreed that you will sin, and so you have no choice, you're simply carrying out the decree of Allah. This is one extreme. They were opposed by the other extremists who say that what you do has nothing to do with the will of Allah. You are independent. Allah's will is irrelevant in your actions, in the actions of the human beings. We do whatever we will, and the will of Allah is not relevant. See, the two extremes, one group, you are forced to do what you do because it's been decreed. The other one say, the decree of Allah is not part of this whole thing. You do whatever you want. It's on your will. Although Allah says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ And you do not will unless Allah wills first. So He gave us a will, and Allah gave Azza wa Jal Himself a will. So we, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, then we believe in both. We have a will, but our will can never go outside the boundaries of the will of Allah. Whatever Allah willed, or whatever Allah did not will, even if we will or we don't will, we're unable to carry it out. Yet we still have our own independent will. We don't feel that we are forced to do anything, because Allah gave us a free will. Is that clear? It will become more clear in case it's not clear at this point. So anyways, this ayah is a refutation then against those who say the Qadariya, الَّذِينَ يُنْكِرُونَ تَعَلُّقْ فِعْلَ الْعَبْدِ بِمَشِيَةِ اللَّهِ They deny the connection between the action of the servant and the will of Allah. They say that there's no connection between them. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَالَ Because Allah says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا If Allah had willed, they would not have fought against one another. So the Shaykh said, يعني, but because Allah willed for them to fight, they fought. You see? So then their actions, was it dependent or independent of Allah's will? It was dependent on Allah's will. Because Allah says, if Allah had willed, they would have not fought. Meaning, because Allah willed, they fought. يعني the action of fighting did not take place until the will of Allah came first. Clear like the sun, but somehow these people don't understand. ثم قال ولكن الله يفعل ما يريد أي يفعل الذي يريده والإرادة هنا إرادة كونية Nay, but Allah does whatever He intends. And the Shaykh said, meaning whatever Allah likes. At the end of the day, it's whatever Allah wills, whatever Allah intends. And here it is a universal intent. A universal intent. This is not legal. This is by the Qadr. What Allah had decreed will take place in this universe of ours. We will see the difference between that and the other kind of irada بإذن الله عز وجل. وقوله يفعل ما يريد. Regarding the part of the ayah, يفعل ما يريد, he does what he intends. الفعل باعتبار ما يفعله سبحانه وتعالى بنفسه فعل مباشر. Let's take this one first. يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. Allah does whatever He intends. He said here the action, the doing, the doing or the action verb is in reference to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does directly. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does directly by Himself. We will see why there's another kind. وَبِاعْتِبَارِ مَا يُقَدِّرُهُ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ فِعْلْ غَيْرِ مُبَاشَرٍ As أو غير مباشر. Regarding what Allah decrees for the servants, then it is indirect. Whatever Allah decreed for us to do. Because Allah decrees something, and then sometimes it is done by the will of Allah strictly, and sometimes we partake in it. We have, for example, Allah intends for Brother Muhammad to receive 5 riyals, and then this 5 riyals is received through an individual. So then, the mashi'ah, the will of Allah is that he received 5 riyal, and it is done by the will of Allah, and through the creation, where someone delivered that money to him. So it is relevant in this sense, it's no longer direct, it's also indirect through another person. لِأَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْلُومَ أَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ إِذَا صَامَ وَصَلَّ وَزَكَّ وَحَجَّ وَجَاهَدْ فَالْفَاعِلَ الْإِنسَانَ بِلَا شَكْ وَمَعْلُومٌ أَنَّ فِعْلَهُ هَذَا بِإِرَادَةِ اللَّهِ. The Shaykh said, because it is known, it is no secret, it's known to everyone, that if a person fasts, and he prays, and he pays the zakah, and he does hajj, and he struggles, he fights for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the doer of these actions? The believer. But isn't it by the will of Allah?
Yes.
Indeed. So it is the will of Allah being carried out through the action of the servant. This is what is intended. وَلَا يَصُحُ أَن يُنْسَبْ فِعْلُ الْعَبْدِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْمُبَاشَرَةِ. It is not correct to attribute the action of the servant to Allah directly. For example, you fast. Let's say you fast one day. Can you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who did it? But who willed it?
Willed it by God's will?
Allah. Yeah. Who willed that you fast? Allah. But who did the action? You. So you cannot say, unlike other things, Allahu yaf'alu ma yureed, Allah does what He intends. Here we said we gave it directly to Allah. But in another context, when you are in between, when you are doing the action, you cannot say that the fasting was done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was intended by Allah, decreed by Allah and done through you. That's what the Shaykh is trying to aim at. Wallahu a'lam. لأن المباشر للفعل الإنسان ولكن يصح أن ينسب إلى الله على سبيل التقدير والخلق. So then, because the doer of the action is a human being, but it is okay to attribute that to Allah in form of decree or creation. You say, Allah decreed that I fast on that day. You see what I'm saying? Or it is the creation of Allah, because our deeds are also a form of creation. Everybody knows that. In Surah As-Saffat, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was dealing with his people, I believe in Surah As-Saffat, he told, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah created you and that which you do. So even the actions that we do are the creation of Allah, because there's the creator and everything else is the creation. You see? Everything that we do, everything that is in this universe, is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including our deeds, our speech, our thinking. Everything has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. أما ما يفعله الله بنفسه كاستوائه على عرشه وكلامه ونزوله إلى السماء الدنيا وضحكه وما أشبه ذلك فهذا ينسب إلى الله تعالى فعلا مباشرة. As for the actions that Allah عز وجل does Himself, without, we have nothing to do with him. Such as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rising above His throne. Wa alaykum salam. Al-istiwa al-arsh, I'm sure everybody knows that. Wa kalamihi, Allah's speech. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa, and when He spoke to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when He speaks to Jibreel, as we were mentioning in the dars the other day on Tuesday, that when Allah loves a servant, He calls on to Jibreel. And He tells Jibreel, I love such and such person, so love him. Then Jibreel will love him, he will tell the inhabitants of the heavens to love that person. Then Allah will put love for this person on this earth. Qabul, acceptance. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He loves the servant, He tells Jibreel, speech, He speaks to Jibreel. So this is something, an action of Allah that we have nothing to do with. You see, unlike the deeds that we do, they are willed by Allah and done through us. Is this getting clear? The image is clear, I hope. Tayyib. ونزوله إلى السماء الدنيا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending to the lowest heaven. And some people have a problem. Many Muslims actually deny this hadith, which is in Bukhari. It's a sahih hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest heaven at the last third of the night. And he asks, who's seeking forgiveness, so I may forgive him. Who's asking, so I may give him. You know the hadith. So some people say, oh no, you cannot say that. You know, you cannot. But the hadith says clearly in the Arabic language, when the Prophet ﷺ spoke, his companions understood. They know what nuzul. ينزل ربنا تبارك وتعالى في ثلث الليل الآخر إلى سماء الدنيا. Or the wording of the hadith with different narratives. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord tabarak ta'ala, descends to the lowest heaven at the last third of every night. So what do we say, Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah? Huh? Do we do ta'til, deny?
We agree.
Do we do tamthil?
No.
Resembling Allah to His creation?
No.
Do we imagine how a human being goes from upstairs to downstairs, so we think of like that of Allah?
No.
We don't do ta'til, we don't deny. You cannot deny, ya Shaykh. This is what the revelation from Allah. And Allah has sent this revelation to guide us from the darkness to the light. If you think that there's going to be something in there that will lead you astray, then you are astray. Then you don't understand the deen to begin with. Because we know that Islam is the deen of Allah that is protected and preserved. And in it is the guidance. So anything in there is means of guidance. But you have to understand it in the right context. The problem is that the people use philosophical Greek ideologies to understand the names and attributes of Allah, or they think of the false gods that the other religions worship and they want to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala similar. And if you're going to use this understanding and methodology, you're about to go astray. There's no other option. So we say, we don't do ta'til, we don't deny, but we say there's nothing like Allah. Ya akhi laysa kamithlihi shay. Don't imagine, this is none of your business. What is your business? To be supplicating to Allah this night. May Allah give us the ability to do that. For you to worship Allah, that's what you need to know. To know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that He does that. As for the kayfiyya, alaykum salam. How? Huh? Allahu a'lam. How? We don't know. Allah didn't tell us, so we don't bother. You see, if it was important for me and you, it would have been revealed. The Prophet ﷺ would have grabbed his companion and said, listen, you want to know how? He would have given him, huh? How? He never said anything. The companions heard this hadith how many times? How many years? No one asked. Not one companion came and said, O Messenger of Allah, what do you mean Allah goes down to the lowest heaven? Why? Because they understood. They had this is part of their brain. You know? They didn't need to go through these things. It was clear to them that there's nothing like Allah. They understood the Quran when they read لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. They know what that means. وَلَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. They know what that means. هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا. They know what that means. وَلَا تَضْرِبُ لِلَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ. They know what that means. Don't strike the examples for Allah. Don't compare Allah to His creation. They know what these meant. So they had boundaries that they never transgressed against. They never, went beyond these limitations. Similarly, we follow the same methodology. Had we had a hadith or a companion asking, the Prophet ﷺ explaining otherwise, wallahi, we have no choice but to accept. If the Prophet ﷺ interpreted this hadith in a particular way, it's not for me and you to inject our intellect into this matter. We would say, sami'na wa ata'na. But we don't have anything. And we cannot deny. And we know there's nothing like Allah. See what I'm saying? I'm just trying to remind those who don't come often, or those who are on and off here, or those who are new, inshallah, so the picture will be clear. So I don't want any misconceptions, because many Muslims deny this with aggression. Not only they deny it, they hate for these things to be discussed, and they may label you as a kafir, as I told you what happened to me before. Allah told they will take you outside the boundaries of Islam. You're beyond Islam, because you've said this. But they don't understand that we have, foundations and principles. There's nothing like Allah, and we understand everything according to this principle. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. طيب. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laughter. Maybe have you ever, whoever has read the narrations about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laughing, raise your hand. Never? Never came across a narration about Allah laughing?
Smile.
No, laughing. I've never come across يبتسم. يضحك. Huh. طيب, anyways, you will see them. They are authentic narrations. Then again, I don't have to repeat it. ليس كمثل شيء أخوان. Don't imagine anything. The hadith about the last man to enter Jannah. You've read this hadith? The last person to enter Jannah, the one who will be moving on the Sirat. Yeah. One second he falls off, the fire gets him sometime. He eventually makes it to the other side, and Allah allows a tree to grow. He says, oh Allah, let me go under the shade of this tree. and so on until he makes it to the door of Jannah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when eventually he puts him at the door of Jannah, he tells him, son of Adam, you told me that you will not ask for anything else, and you keep asking every time I give you, you keep asking. And so he will say, what would be pleasing to you? Is it pleasing to you that I give you this world and the equal of 10? Huh? Then the servant says, you're mocking me and you are the Lord of the worlds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laughs at this particular statement of his slave. And then he says, no, but I'm able to do all things. And then he will give him the equal to 10 times this world and everything in it, to the last brother to enter Jannah, last brother. Don't ask about those who go ahead, and in the hadith, he will walk in the distance of his own property, the distance of 2,000 years, the time span of 2,000 years, walking in his own property. This is the last brother to enter Jannah, the one who barely made it over the sirat, the fire was almost about to, swallow him. So anyways, the hadith, and there's many other narrations about the laughter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go back again, we say, listen, who was the most eloquent in speech? The Prophet ﷺ. Was there anyone more eloquent? Did anyone know Allah more than the Prophet ﷺ? He knew Allah the most. Huh? He had the most fear of Allah. He was the most eloquent. And he does not speak of his own desire. He said Allah laughs. Can you come and say no? You cannot say no, ya akhi. But then we go back to the principle, there's nothing like Allah. So, khalas. Huh? He meant delete any images, any sounds. It's not like that. That's the easy. Whatever you imagine, you're wrong. Whatever you are thinking, you're wrong. So why are you sitting there wasting your time? Anyways, Allahu musta'an. طيب. وفي هذه الآية من أسماء الله. What names of Allah do we have in this ayah? ولو شاء الله ما اقتتلوا ولكن الله يفعل ما يريد. Allah. لفظ الجلال. That's it. But what about sifat, attributes? Yeah, how many do we have, and what are they? And if Allah, now let me repeat the verse. And if Allah had willed, they would have not fought against one another. But Allah does whatever He intends. What are the attributes that we get from this verse? Mashi'a, beautiful. Al-irada, ahsant. Aywa. Mashi'a, Allah's will. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا. That we get. Irada, yurid. Huh? وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيد. فِعْل. Action. The doing of something. The actual action, the doing of something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. So this is another one of the attributes that Allah azza wa jal does things. And everything you see is an action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of the functionality of this universe. طيب. Beautiful. The third ayah, we're done with this ayah. Al-ayatu thalitha, qawluhu uhillat lakum bahimatul an'ami illa ma yutla alaykum ghayra muhilli saydi wa antum hurum. Inna allaha yahkumu ma yurid. This is Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 1. It reads, lawful to you for food are all the beasts of cattle, except that which will be announced to you therein, or herein. Game is like hunting, being unlawful when you assume ihram, for hajj or umrah, while in the state of ihram. Verily Allah commands that which He wills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges, yahkum ma yurid, or commands that which He wills or that which He intends, depending on how you want to translate it. Al-Muhim, this is Surah Al-Ma'idah, the table spread, or the table, verse 1. Uhillat lakum, it was made lawful for you. Who's the one who made it lawful? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Muhillu huwa Allahu azza wa jal. The one who made it lawful, the legalizer, I guess, the one who made it legal, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَذَلِكَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Is the Prophet salam also one who makes halal and haram?
Yes.
What do you mean, no? The Prophet ﷺ does not make halal and haram?
He made.
Of course he does. In huwa illa wahyun yuha. طيب, but he does not speak of his own desire. Does he make lawful or does he make things lawful or unlawful or prohibited? He does.
He doesn't.
But what he does, isn't it by the will of Allah?
Yes.
So sometimes you have the one who is making lawful or unlawful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly in the Quran. Sometimes it's the Prophet through the hadith. So he is making things lawful or prohibited, but how? By revelation. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنْهُ. He doesn't make things that, unless Allah willed, he would never say something that opposes that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you know, that's how it is understood. So the Shaykh said, وَكَذَلِكَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ يُحِلُّ وَيُحَرِّمُ. Likewise, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he makes lawful and he makes prohibited. Or he prohibits. وَلَكِنْ بِإِذْنٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. But only by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, an example, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أُحِلَّتْ لَكُمْ مَيْتَتَانْ وَدَمَانْ. It was made lawful for you two kinds of dead. That usually al-mita is the animal which died without the proper slaughtering, without the tazkiyah shar'iyya. Wadaman, and two forms of blood. Also the blood is in general is haram. You know, to unlawful to drink blood, as some people cook blood and stuff in this sort of say. وكان عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول إن الله يحرم عليكم. Likewise, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say, verily Allah makes prohibited for you. What are the maitatan? Does anyone know?
Dead animals.
Hey, but what are the two exceptions that were made lawful for us? I don't know if he mentions it here. Fish. If you see a dead fish floating, you can eat it. Now listen, if you walking down the street and you see a cow dead, can you eat it? Haram. Mita. This is dead. Huh? It's dead animal. Nobody slaughtered it. It's some whatever disease, sickness. It's filthy. It's haram. But you see a fish floating,
seafood,
you can eat it. This is an exception. You see a fish, anything in the ocean that dies naturally, you may eat it. Do you slaughter a fish? خلاص. So once you see a fish, you can eat a fish whether alive, dead or alive. This isn't from the Prophet ﷺ. This is not from me. Just in case you look at me like, what is he saying? The other kind is the...
In case somebody...
No. There's another lawful dead thing that you, if you find, you may alatul bismillah.
Jarad.
The locust. You know, the animal like the grasshopper. These the jarad. Hey. Also this one, if you see it dead, ma fi mushkila. Hey.
The animal of the land or water?
Bird.
No, Jarad. No, it's not a bird. It's an insect. It's like a grasshopper.
Grasshopper, locust.
The one that if they go to a farm, they eat the whole thing, man. Hey.
Ahsan.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's called the locust. It's a form of a grasshopper. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished the people of Israel, Fir'aun. Fir'aun, he sent the frogs and the blood and the khummal, the lice, and the whatchamacallit, the locust. So they were eating everything they had and things of the sort. طيب. So these are the exceptions. Al-muhim. وَرُبَّمَا أَيْهِ كَذَا يُخْبِرُ أَنَّهُ حُرِّمُ وَرُبَّمَا يُحَرِّمُ تَحْرِيمًا يُضِيفُ إِلَى نَفْسِهِ لَكِنْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. So at times the Prophet ﷺ will say, Allah made unlawful for you, and he will attribute that to Allah. And at times he will say it himself. He will attribute the tahreem to himself, which will give us some examples later on, inshallah. لَكِنَّهُ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. But whatever the case, it's by the will of Allah, by the permission of Allah. بِإِذْن, إِذْن, permission. يعني, he doesn't do things on independently. It's wahi anyways. Whatever he does is revelation from Allah. It's not like he just, you know, he thinks of something and he just makes it lawful or unlawful then in this fashion. It's not in this fashion. He does not speak unless it is being revealed to him. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. It is only revelation being inspired or revealed to him. صلى الله عليه وسلم. بهيمة الأنعام هي الإبل والبقر والغنم والأنعام جمع نعم كأسباب جمع سبب. Bahimatul an'am, beasts of the cattle. The cattle are, according to the Shaykh, al-ibil, camels, everybody knows the camels, wal-baqar, cows, wal-ghanam, goats. And an'am is the plural of na'am, the same way asbab is the plural of sabab. Reasons and reason, this is just not our business, really. وَقَوْلُهُ بَهِيمَ سُمِّيَتْ بِذَلِكَ لِأَنَّهَا لَا تَتَكَلَّمُ. Why is it called bahima, a beast? Because it doesn't speak. Okay, and usually this is an insult. That is, if somebody say this person is beam, you know, or something, they usually they're saying this person who has no understanding. Yani this is a quality of the animal who does not make distinctions between things. He doesn't speak, you know, someone who's low on the brain capacity. It's called Bahima. This one is called Bahimatul An'am. Otherwise, An'am is you know, the cattle. But the beasts of the cattle, because they do not speak. This is what it means in the Arabic language. Illa, except, ma yutla alaykum, that which will be recited upon you. Or that which will be announced to you. إِلَّا الَّذِي يُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فِي هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ Meaning, except that which will be recited upon you in this surah, Surah Al-Ma'idah. وَهِيَ الْمَذْكُورَ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى It is the things that were mentioned in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ الْمَيْتَةُ عَفْوًا وَالدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ It was made forbidden for you are the dead animals, the blood and the flesh of the swine, the pig, the flesh of the swine or the pig. And the meat which was slaughtered for as a sacrifice for other than Allah. The meat which was sacrificed for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like for their false gods. And now very many Muslims, they do this to the dead person in the grave. They go and slaughter, you know, something for him supposedly to get some benefit. فَالْإِسْتِثْنَاءُ هُنَا فِيهِ مُنْقَطِعُ وَفِيهِ مُتَّصِلُ فبالنسبة للميتة من بهيمة الأنعام متصل وبالنسبة للحم الخنزير منقطع لأنه ليس من بهيمة الأنعام So he said here the exception here يعني it was made إلا ما يتلى عليكم except that exception he said there's part of it that is connected exception and another one is disconnected or disattached attached and disattached we will see what it means As for the mayta min bahimat al-an'am muttasil. Okay, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the exception that and then He gave us the al-mayta. Because it is relevant. And وَبِالنِسْبَ لِلَحْمَ الْخَنْزِيرُ مُنْقَطِعُ As for the flesh of the swine, it is not related. Because the swine is not from bahimat al-an'am. The pig is not considered of the cattle. You see, to the non-Muslims, it is. But to the Muslims, it is not. So here this is almost like a new thing. It's not related to the things that were mentioned before. Allah musta'an. وَقَوْلُهُ غَيْرَ مُحِلِّي الصَّيْدِ وَأَنْتُمْ حُرُمٌ Basically, where game is unlawful for you, you know, hunting is unlawful for you, why you are in the state of ihram. Why are you in the state of ihram? غَيْرَ حَالٌ مِنْ كَافِي لَكُمْ This is a grammar. يعني meaning while you in the state حال كونكم لا تحلون الصيد وأنتم حرم while you in the state where you are not allowed to hunt while you are in the state of إحرام وهذا الاستثناء منقطع أيضا لأن الصيد ليس بهيمة الأنعام طيب وقوله غير محلي الصيد يعني قاتليه في الإحرام meaning you do not kill while you are in the state of إحرام لأن الذي يفعل الشيء يصير كالمحلة because the one who does something it's almost as if he's making it lawful The one who does something is making it lawful when it is unlawful. You see what I'm saying? The doing of something that is unlawful makes it almost lawful for that particular individual. Not for the deen, not for the rest of the Muslims, but for the doer as if he's making it lawful for himself. For example, fornication. Fornication is unlawful. The person who does fornicate, he's making it lawful for himself. You know what I'm saying? So that's what is intended here. والصيد هو الحيوان البري المتوحش المأكول صيد is the wild animal بري is wild you know like there's a regular cat that you see near the trash and then there's the wild cat that you see out in the jungles and you know these the different places المتوحش المأكول the one that you eat هذا هو الصيد الذي حرم في الإحرام this kind of hunting is the one that was made forbidden while you are in a state of إحرام يعني the wild animals not because you don't do you hunt the sheep Or do you hunt the cow? These animals are not hunted. Usually they're, alhamdulillah, they go with the flow. وَقَوْلُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ هَذِهِ الْإِرَادَ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ هَذِهِ الْإِرَادَ شَرْعِيَّةِ Verily Allah commands what He wills or yurid intends. He said this is a legal intent. Legal, شَرْعِيَّةِ يعني related to the شريعة, الشَّرْعِ لأن المقام مقام تشريع because here this the context is that of legislating what is halal and what is haram is legislation not the universal law of Allah that deals with the qadr of Allah these are the two differences the universal intent is things related to the world Allah intends that this cloud moves you know in this fashion and then it will send down some rain by the will of Allah this is an intent that is universal The legal one is dealing with what Allah intends in terms of we implementing in our lives, the do's and the don'ts. The Shaykh will further break this down just in case it's still ambiguous at this point. وَيَجُوزَ أَن تَكُونَ إِرَادَ شَرْعِيَّةَ كَوْنِيَةَ And he said it may be both, the combination of a universal legal intent. Both, two in one. وَنَحْمِلُ الْحُكْمَ عَلَى الْحُكْمُ الْكَوْنِ الشَّرْعِي فَمَا أَرَادَهُ كَوْنًا حَكَمَ بِهِ أَوْ أَوْقَعَهُ وَمَا أَرَادَهُ شَرْعًا حَكَمَ بِهِ وَشَرَعَهُ لِعِبَادِهِ Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to take place universally in this universe, then Allah wills it and He allows it to take place. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills legally, then He legislates that. He commands that and He legislates that to His servants. وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ مِنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ What names do we have in this ayah? I repeat the ayah. حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم لو عفوا الآية الثالثة أحلت لكم بهيمة الأنعام إلا ما يتلى عليكم غير محلي الصيد وأنتم حرم إن الله يحكم ما يريد What are the names?
Allah,
Allah جل جلاله طيب صفات attributes I repeat it in English Pay attention I want you to give me the attributes Lawful to you for food are all the beasts of cattle Except that which will be announced to you herein, in the same ayah, in the same surah. It was two verses later. Game being unlawful when you assume ihram for hajj or umrah. Verily Allah commands that which He intends.
Hukum.
Al-hukum. Commands.
Or to make lawful, unlawful.
Aywa, al-tahleel. Making lawful. Barakallahu feek. And lastly, al-irada. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكَمُ مَا يُرِيدُ أَحْسَنْتُمْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ اللَّهُمَّ لَكَ الْحَمْدُ الآية الرابعة Now this one is this one will be extensive and it is actually interesting because whenever we come across things that are related to da'wah these are the most interesting things because we can take double benefit the benefit of the ilm the knowledge that we get from the book and then how to use this in our da'wah expeditions So this is alhamdulillah double inshallah barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayah is fundamental to understand in the context of da'wah. For those of you who are involved with da'wah, I don't see why any one of us should be excluded from this speech. قوله فمن يرد الله أن يهديه يشرح صدره للإسلام ومن يرد أن يضله يجعل صدره ضيقا حرجا كأنما يصعد في السماء. This is Surah Al-An'am, verse 125. An'am is cattle as well, verse 125. The statement of Allah, فَمَن يُرِدِ اللَّهُ Oh, I didn't translate. And whomsoever Allah wills to guide, He opens His breast to Islam. His breast or His chest, صدر. Yeah. And whomsoever He wills to send astray, He makes His breast closed and constricted. As if he is climbing up to the sky. Now of course, many of the modern scientists or those who interpret the Quran, they brought a relation between this ayah and what has been discovered scientifically that the more you go up, the harder it is to breathe. Right? The oxygen or whatever becomes lesser. That's why when they go to space, they be wearing oxygen tanks and what have you, because you cannot really breathe much. So they said, they brought a relation. They said, look, Allah described the one who Allah wants to misguide, his chest is constricted as if he's climbing in the sky. The same way you feel if you were to go up in the sky, you can no longer breathe. Yani, this may be used, we don't make it conclusive, but this is a decent relevant interpretation, but what is intended here is different than that. The general meaning according to the old context, as I will wait for the Shaykh to explain it to us, so I will not go ahead of him, inshallah, so I will not be redundant. So, فَمَن يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَن يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ يَشْرَحْ Where do we know it from another surah, which everybody here should know? Aywa, Surah Al-Inshirah. ألم نشرح لك صدرك same thing ها طيب good المراد بالإرادة هنا الإرادة الكونية what is intended here with إرادة is it a legal intent or universal intent whomever Allah wills to guide he will open his chest for Islam is that legal or universal
universal
universal بارك الله فيكم good Hey, wa wal murad bil hidayah, hidayat at-tawfiq. And what is intended by guidance? The guidance, what is intended by guidance is the guidance of success. Because we said there are two kinds of guidance. Does anyone remember them? Did we ever deal with that? MashaAllah. Hidayat, irshad, direction. You guide someone, you do all the effort to guide someone. You tell him about Islam, you tell him what he needs to do, what have you. But then who has the hidayah at tawfiq? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then it's almost like you given direction, but you cannot guarantee that the person will make it to his destination. You tell him you go straight on Hira, you get to this place, you make a left. Huh? You can convey, you give him hidayah, guidance in terms of direction. But who will allow him to make it to his destination successfully? Allah, you have no choice. You cannot control that. You can give him the best directions in the world, and he will get lost. I'm one of these people. And you can tell me the best directions in the world, I'll go to Bab Mecca by mistake. I've done this more than once. So if you ever invite me to your place, make sure you pick me up. Al-Muhim. So then we said two kinds of guidance. The one you give directions, which is the one the Prophet ﷺ did. وَإِنَّكَ Allah says about the Prophet ﷺ, وَإِنَّكَ تَهْدِي وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Verily, you Muhammad, guide to a straight path. But then in another verse, Allah told him, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ تَشَاءُ لَا إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ سبحان الله مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ عفوا. You do not guide the one whom you love, rather Allah guides whomever He wills. So one time he confirmed it, hidayah to Prophet ﷺ, and another time he denied it. Because the two different hidayah. The hidayah of direction, huh? The Prophet ﷺ gives you the right direction to go to the straight path. The tawfiq is with Allah. You do not guide the ones whom you love. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guides them, you only give them direction. So we know the two kinds of guidance. Hidayah to irshad, irshad, direction. Hidayah to tawfiq, success. The success given by Allah to become rightly guided. فتجده منشرح الصدر في شرائع الإسلام وشعائره يفعلها بفرح وسرور وانطلاق. Now this verse is actually applicable to two, Muslims and non-Muslims. In the general meaning, for the non-Muslim, if Allah wants to guide him to the straight path, He will make him accept Islam and love Islam. That's for the disbeliever. But then there's one also for the believer. If Allah wants to guide one of us, because the look at the wording is general. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ Whomever Allah wants to guide. Through Islam, within Islam, we continue to ask guidance. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ So hidayah doesn't stop. Right or wrong? وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدَى Allah says, and Allah increases those who have been guided with more guidance. So then guidance is something that continues to progress, to increase depending on the righteous deeds. So then the verse is applicable to Muslims and non-Muslims. So if Allah wants to, the Shaykh said, if Allah wants to guide someone within Islam, not only from outside Islam into Islam, within Islam, then Allah will make his chest open for the various rights of Islam and the different rights and the law, the Islamic Sharia and the Sha'air is the rights. Yani rights of Hajj, the rights of Umrah, the rights of Salah, everything that is related to maybe the logistics. He does it bifarah, with happiness. Wasurur, another form of happiness. Wa intilaq, yani intilaq is when you're excited towards something. You know, satisfaction, happiness, content, and things, similar meanings. The Shaykh said, فَإِذَا عَرَفْتَ مِن نَفْسِكَ هَذَا فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَرَادَ بِكَ خَيْرًا MashaAllah. وَأَرَادَ لَكَ هِدَايَةً أَمَّا مَنْ ضَقَ Let me, before I continue. He said, if you see this within yourself, each one of us can make his own assessment, assess himself or evaluate himself according to this ayah. He says, if you see that within yourself, you have this eagerness, huh? This desire to implement. You know, you really want to, whenever you hear a legislation, a command, a prohibition, you're just so happy to put it into practice. He said, if you see yourself like that, then know that Allah intends goodness for you. Allah intends goodness for you. Whatever you hear, you feel excited to put it into practice. We see there's another kind of people, may Allah protect us. Amma, and then Allah wants guidance for you. Wa amma, am afwan, amma man daqa bihi dhar'an wal'iyadhu billah fa'inna hadha alama ala anna Allah lam yurid lahu al-hidayah wa illa lan sharaha sadruh. He said, but if you find that your heart becomes constricted, and you tell the brother, ya akhi, this is haram. If he was like, haram, astaghfirullah, wallah, I didn't know. Khalas. Even Allah, alhamdulillah, that Allah gave me guidance, that Allah brought you to me to tell me the halal and haram, wallah, I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to do this. This is one kind of individual, I don't know where they are nowadays. The other kind of individual, I really have to do this? Is this really something that is... His chest is tight, not really happy. He may do it, eventually, because he's forced to do it. He's afraid of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is good, better than nothing, but that's not the ultimate, that's not the believer in the ultimate sense. The believer does it willingly. Because Allah said, if Allah wants to guide you, He will make you chest open. Give me, hungry, give me, man, give me what? Give me the do's and the don'ts, so I can put them into practice. And this is applicable to the obligatory and the voluntary things. Yani when we hear a sunnah from Prophet ﷺ, without elaborating, the sunnah regarding to every aspect of our life, inwardly and outwardly. We should not have any, if Allah intends goodness for us, once we learn the rule, khalas. Khalas, game over. Case closed. Alatul, put it into practice. If we don't, if we continue to, disobey, if we don't put it into practice, if we act like we didn't hear, or if we just pretend that we don't know any better, or we find excuse for ourselves, then we belong to the second category. Those who, when the Shaykh said, وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, and Allah's refuge is sought. We seek refuge in Allah. He said, that whoever is tight becomes chest, this is an indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want guidance for this person. Otherwise, his chest would have been open. He would have been accepting these rulings willingly. وَلِهَذَا تَجِدُونَ الصَّلَاةَ الَّتِي هِيَ أَثْقَلُ مَا يَكُونُ عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ قُرَّةُ عُيُونَ الْمُخْلِصِينَ. Subhanallah. He said, this is why you will find the salah that is the heaviest salah upon the hypocrites is the pleasure of the eye of the sincere believers. Yani, two people, one for them, that salah is the best salah. And to the other group, the hypocrite, this is the worst salah. Huh? Which one do you think we're talking about?
Fajr.
Aisha.
This
is the brother, man, Fajr comes in there, 5:30, man. That's early, akhi. That's time for me to sleep. I can't wake up at this time. That's a'udhu billah. This is how the hypocrites used to be. They hated this salah because it's not convenient. The salah of dhuhr, convenient. Asr, actually some people like the salah during dhuhr so they can run away from work. Huh? He's just tired of work. Give me the last salah break, man. Alhamdulillah, they call the adhan. Not because he wants to go pray. He just wants to go fukkani min al-amal. Just leave me, I don't want to work anymore. So you go pray extra sunnah, huh? You do dhikr extra long. Take wallah, Shaykh, I was telling the boss, I was at the masjid, man, doing the sunnah. Wallah, this is serious, this is funny, but it's sad that some people, use the salah as this their escape, huh? Their escape from their work or from their daily effort. But then when it comes to fajr, there is no such privilege because there's sleep. And sleep is a priority for them, so then the salah is in conflict with the hadith, so it becomes heavy for them. And they hate it. And similarly with the Isha, they would prefer to be on the corniche, sipping some tea with na'na', and talking about people and backbiting and enjoying, looking at women walking down the street. Doesn't want to be at the masjid. When they hear the adhan, oh man, we have to now, close our little gathering and we have to go pray, then we have to come back and, reconstruct our little carpet with our, people have different views of life. Allah musta'an. But so they said, the Shaykh said, then the salah that is most heavy upon the hypocrites is the best salah for the believer. Especially Salatul Fajr, it's a peaceful time. Your mind has not been filled with a lot of worldly junk, in the morning. You're fresh, It's all, spiritual, rawhaniyat, things of iman. Wallahu a'lam. May Allah make us among those. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حبب إلي من دنياكم النساء والطيب وجعلت قرة عيني في الصلاة أو جعلت قرة عيني في الصلاة. It was made, the Prophet ﷺ said, it was made beloved to me from this dunya of yours. And the funny, the interesting thing in the hadith, من دنياكم, he said from your world, as if the Prophet ﷺ saying that this word is not for me. Yani the whole world is not for me, it's your world. But it was made beloved to me by the will of Allah Woman. The recording is on. I was going to turn off the recorder. So this is very normal that a man loves woman. And it is very abnormal for a man to love another man. And so this is because these people are available also nowadays. So you know, this is sickness, a'udhu billah, in every sickness and a human abnormality. It's an abnormality, and you know the ruling of Islam regarding these individuals. Tayyib. So he was made beloved to Rasulullah from this dunya of ours, woman, and tib. What is tib? The perfume, cologne. You know, the different atar, oud, and bakhur, and kafur, and the different misk, and things of the sort. It was made beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And many of the scholars say there's no harm if you spend a little extra money on tib. You know, this is not considered tabdir, extravagance, as it is with other things, if you're getting something that will make you smell nice. And so, because of course it is important for the believer to be fresh, to look fresh, to smell fresh. And you know, the last thing you want to do is go to the masjid smelling like an armpit and then ruining the salah for everybody around you. Because people just wish you could disappear from the masjid because you cannot pray anymore. Every time you go for ruku', you know, the smell, it reeks, you know. I'm reminding myself and you to be mindful of these things. Sometimes you're tired, we come from work, you can always carry your own personal soap. Go to the hammam and you know, soap. Allah told me, "Ma fi mushkila." Get you know yourself off the trouble, or some strong oud usually will take care of the business if you're going to use it in this fashion. وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةَ عَيْنِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. The emphasis here, and the salah was made to be the pleasure of my eye. The Prophet sallam, يعني even the woman, when he would be with one of his wives alayhi salatu wasalam, Aisha particularly, the most beloved to him, he would tell her in some narrations, says, دَرِينِ أَعْبُدْ رَبِّي, leave me to worship Allah. Although this is her time and his time, he would ask her permission, yani allow me to worship my Lord. And he would get up for Qiyam. Although women were beloved to him, particularly his wife Aisha, he preferred to do Qiyam al-Layl. The Surah tells you that the Salah was made to be the pleasure of his eye, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَكْمَلَ النَّاسِ إِيمَانًا فَانْشَرَحَ صَدْرُهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَصَارَتْ قُرَّةَ عَيْنِهِ. He said, and there is no doubt that the Prophet ﷺ is the most perfect in Iman. He has the most complete Iman. And because of that, the Salah, his chest was open for the Salah, and it was made to become the pleasure of his eye, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِذَا قِيلَ لِشَخْصٍ إِنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْكَ أَن تُصَلِّ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ فَانْشَرَحَ صَدْرُهُ وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي شَرَعَ لِي ذَلِكَ ولولا أن الله شرعه لكان بدعة وأقبل إليه ورضي به فهذا علامة على أن الله أراد أن يهديه وأراد به خيرا. The Sheikh said, if you were to tell a person, look أخي, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made praying in congregation in the masjid compulsory upon you, and so he has just become, it gets open for that remark or that reminder or that statement of yours, and he will say something along these lines, Alhamdulillah, who legislated for me this particular act of worship, huh? And had Allah not legislated, it would have been a bid'ah. I wouldn't have done it. But because it was legislated by Allah, he praises Allah for that, and he does it. وَأَقْبَلَ إِلَيْهِ, he comes willingly. وَرَضِيَ بِهِ, he becomes satisfied with that. Then this is an indication that Allah wanted to guide this individual, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended goodness for him. With that, inshallah, we will conclude. The next week, bismillah, if we all remain alive, we will be dealing yashrah sadra al-Islam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens his chest to Islam, and the Shaykh will elaborate quite actually extensively on this particular ayah, dealing with the various things that we may have heard in different lectures or whatever, but good reminders for us inshallah regarding our attitude towards the commandments of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that which comes in the Quran and the Sunnah. Hada wallahu ta'ala alam, alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.